and Korea. The last time we discussed Hilchos Shabbos, we introduced the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon regarding Melachos Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. Is Melachos Shein Tzrich L'Gufa chayev or not? And we paskin that it is not chayev. So we asked, what is the din if I tear something? And it's not Amras Litfor, which is the way that the Mishnah terms the Melach of Korea. It has to be Amras Litfor in order to sew it back up. So it's not for that purpose. I'm not going to sew it back up, but it is for some other productive purpose. Is that a Melach Hashem Tzuch L'Gufa? Or is it not because the specific need of Tofer is required as the end game as it was in the Mishkan? Do we say that it's all about the Patur from it being destructive? And it doesn't matter in what way it's destructive, and as long as it's productive, it's a malacha. Or do we say it needs to be productive in a specific sense, namely that I'm going to sew it up afterwards in some better fashion? So this is machlokes between Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Chayyadim on one side, against the Chavetz Chaim, the Beir Halacha, on the other side. The classic test case for this is Gemara Shabbos. Gemara Shabbos says, let's say a person tears his clothing, b'chamaso. He's very angry. And he rips his shirt. And the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Shimon, he's potter. So to illustrate, the reason he's tearing is not because he just lost his control in a fit of rage, and he's acting that out in a destructive way. The Rambam writes that kas is something a person should never have. He has to go to the opposite extreme. It's one of those exceptions to the golden rule, the shvil azav, the middle path. Kas is something a person has to go to the opposite extreme to avoid, never become angry. But he acknowledges, as we find in Chazal, that there are times when maybe a father, head of a household, needs to teach a lesson and demonstrate a certain value or provide discipline for children or the like. And in that case, the Rambam says that a person should still not get angry, should still not let the emotion overtake him, but he should display anger on the outside in order to drive home the point to his kids that whatever was done is bad, just for example. But internally, he has to remain with Minuchas HaNefesh. It's a very difficult midah to achieve, to have an external display of anger without actually being upset inside, purely for the sake of chinuch. Be that as it may, the Gemara says that this display of anger from the standpoint of Melachos Korea, if it was done on Shabbos, person tears his shirt. It's an example of Melachos Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, according to Rabbi Shimon. He's demonstrating that anger, again, to prove a point, but he's not actually interested in the tear. Shimon says, you're potter. And now, in that case, it's clearly not Korea Amunas Litfor, it's Korea to demonstrate anger. You have no intent of tearing it up, and that's certainly not the reason why you're tearing it in the first place. Tearing it to tear it. So in that case, Rabbi Shimon says you're Pater. It's not Melacha Shetzarach L'Gufa. And that would seem to be a proof, explains the Chai Adam, that a side tikkun of Korea is not Chayav according to Rabbi Shimon, unlike the Chavetz Chaim's opinion, because even though the person doesn't plan on sewing up the tear, there is a specific reason why he's doing it. There is a productive result that he accomplishes the discipline or he teaches the lesson. So there's a productive result, and nevertheless, you're potter. Still, melachos shein tzrich l'gufa. So the side benefit does not emerge directly from the tear, and we see that it is still not a melachos shetzarach l'gufa. If the side tikkun was more inherent to the kriya, so the Chafetz Chaim says, I understand your proof against me, but maybe the reason why you're putter over here is because the tikkun that is accomplished isn't inherent to the kriya. Maybe Rabbi Shimon would agree, even if it's not amnas litfor, to tie it up again, to sew it up again, but as long as the advantage, as long as the benefit that is created somehow pertains to the tear, then even Rabbi Shimon would agree that it's chay, that it's mochash tzarach l'gufa. So what would be a nafka meaning for this? So explains the Chafetz Chaim. Let's say you have an envelope, and the envelope has a letter inside. Now, for the sake of simplicity, in order to isolate the issue that we're discussing, there's no mukta, there's nothing in the envelope that would be problematic. You received the envelope before Shabbos began. Okay, you got a newsletter with Dvar Torah inside, before Shabbos started, but you didn't get around to opening it up until after candlelighting, until after Shabbos already started. So the only potential issue here involves ripping the envelope to take out the letter. So Beir Halacha explains that this would be prohibited because the Korea is inherently a tikkun. I'm tearing open the envelope, productive purpose, so that I can reach the paper inside, I can reach the Divrei Torah inside. Even though it's not amnas litfor, I'm not going to sew up that envelope, I'm not going to glue it back together. But it's productive nonetheless in terms of my need to remove that layer outside to access what's inside. So that's a benefit of a tik or a tikkun that is directly connected or directly stems from the kriya, because through the opening that's created by me tearing the envelope, that's how I remove the letter, right? The subject of the kriya is where the benefit inheres. And the Chafetz Chaim brings from the Pri Chadosh that is chayef. It'd be an iser d'oraisa for a Jew to tear open an envelope. You couldn't even ask a non-Jew to do it for you. That would be amir la'akum, which is generally aser midrabanan. When you're asking the guy to do something that a Jew would not allow would not be allowed to do, midrabanan. So that is how the Chafetz Chaim illustrates that korea shalom and aslit for could still be chayev when, again, the productive result is through the kriya itself. Now, I want to specify, the Pri Chadosh is not talking about the type of envelope that we usually use, that we usually receive letters in. There's something which you may not be familiar with, but even when I was in yeshiva, whatever it is, about 20 years ago, it was not uncommon to send an aerogram. Sorry to date myself. Does anyone know what an aerogram is? So when I was in yeshiva, the email was just becoming a thing. And I don't even know if we had our own addresses, but when you went to yeshiva, you went to send an email to your parents. So there were two or three computers in the library that were open for limited hours over the course of the day, and you had to take a turn and borrow the computers of the yeshiva and write an email, some old DOS, you know, operating system. It's a Pella, you know. You guys probably think I'm talking from the Stone Age, but I am basically. So that's how you sent an email. Sometimes it was actually easier just to write a letter, like they did in the old days, like from camp. So when you go to the post office in Eretz Yisrael, you can buy a stamp to send an envelope back to America, or you can buy an aerogram. Aerogram was basically a piece of paper, more or less 8.5 by 11 or A4, whatever they call it in Israel, and you would fold it once and then over, and then you would lick it like an envelope, and the side tabs would fold over, so the letter would be folded into three sections and form an envelope, and you would just send that home, and then you would open it up, and the letter would be there. So the envelope and the letter were the same. It wasn't actually enveloped in anything, but that was an aerogram. So that's what the Pri Chadosh is talking about. That was more common in his time, hundreds of years ago, where the paper and the letter are one. So when you would tear open the envelope, you would actually have a letter in front of you, such that the tikkun from the korea is much more directly emerging from the kriya itself, in that it actually transforms the envelope into a piece of paper through that tear by opening it up and allowing the text to be readable. So that's an issur d'oraisa, because even though there's no amanas lit for, but the side tikkun of having the letter in front of you is 1,000% through the kriya. Our envelopes that contain the letter on the paper inside would not be an issur d'oraisa according to this thinking, even though, because the tikkun is not really emerging from the kriya in the same direct form, because the letter is fully existent inside the envelope, ready to use. There's just an obstacle preventing me from seeing the words inside, and that obstacle is removed when I tear it open. Moving an obstacle is not a tikkun. The letter is already mesukin. I can just now access it. So we're left with a classic case of koresh l'amanas litvor, and also not really amanas some other positive productive purpose either. Seemingly that would only be an iser drabanan maximum according to that Pri Chadosh. And if there is a goy available to open it, if there in theory there would be much more room to be lenient if there was some time sensitive need to read what was inside the letter on Shabbos, or maybe it would be a shvus to shvus, but makom mitzvah shvus to shvus makom hefzid. But you know, probably not routinely with the letters that you receive in the mail on a daily basis. Okay, but it would be an issur d'rabbanan, it wouldn't be an issur d'oraisa. But we have to now take from that precedent to lay the groundwork with the understanding that when you're tearing something open in that scenario, you're starting with an issur d'rabbanan, and therefore there will be additional tzadei kula as we'll talk about in Mirtz Hashem, starting next time when we start to address opening packages on Shabbos in general. But let's just take a look at two more applications, very practical applications, before we stop for today. Let's see someone uses the bathroom and finds when they're in the bathroom that there's no more pre-torn toilet paper for use on Shabbos. What do you do? The Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa begins by suggesting, well, maybe that's Korea Midaraisa according to the Bir Halacha. right? It's not almanas lefor. I'm tearing toilet paper that will never be re-sewn. No interest in putting it back together again. But given that there is a concrete tikkun, that I had toilet paper that was not really usable to me before, and now by removing it from the roll, I can use it. So is that a benefit that would constitute a toelas, productive purpose, that could turn this amalacha shetzaruch legufa and be nesu daraisa? Posim explained that when one has no other option, there is room to be mekel. Okay? Why? So provided that you tear it with a shinoi. Since there's a potential daraisa over here, if you would rip the toilet paper, let's say with your teeth, and create the shinoi like that, so then you're back down to an issur d'rabbanan. The Gemara tells us in Brachas and other places that a person may violate an issur d'rabbanan b'makom kavod rabbis. Chazal, we're not misakin. They're dinim b'makom kavod rabbis. We discussed this last in the context of tochen. Someone removing caked on mud from a suit would be a shayla. We can bring it down to d'rabbanan. It would be mochshin shuch l'gufa and b'makom kavod rabbis. If he's going to be very embarrassed by having this big glob of dried mud on a suit, that would be permissible, and many other cases of kavod abrios, chazal were not masakin. So here also, use of a bathroom, having access to proper dignity to deal with my bodily needs, is an example of kavod abrios, and nisur rabbanan would be permissible. Had a shiloh a couple years ago. There's someone in the Heights whose toilet stopped working on Shabbos, and if you live in an apartment in the Heights, most likely only have one bathroom. And he was asking me all kinds of shilas about his wife having to go across the street to use the bathroom in yeshiva. And I said, this is a situation where even if fixing the toilet is issur d'oraisa, which that's not so posh, but even if it's issur d'oraisa, he asked the super to come to fix it, and that's a mitzvah la'akum, but makom kavod abrios, for sure that would be permissible to be able to have use of the bathroom in your apartment, is an example of that, the application of that kula. Just going to throw in, we have to talk about this more when we discuss other halachos. Many poskim recommend that one specifically tears or attempts to tear not along the perforations of the toilet paper, and that is an important element in the melacha of mechatech. Not for now, but certainly to tear with the shinoi would bring it down to nisur d'rabbanan and permit the use of the toilet paper as a nisur d'rabbanan v'makom kavod abrios.